Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
We are back in the Pack-A-Day Radio Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
An FM The Fan Studios empowered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. So look, check this out. We've got the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis coming up 9 to 11 today. All right, we know that. They're on every day, 9 to 11. But here's the thing. Packers president Mark Murphy coming on today at 10 o'clock a.m. Kind of a big deal. The Packers president, CEO, Mark Murphy, going to be on the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis, 10 a.m. today. Make sure to check that out. Also, the Packers are going to be in Philly to take on the Eagles this Sunday afternoon in the NFC wildcard round of the NFL playoffs. After the game goes final, make the switch to The Fan for the Green Bay football postgame show driven by Young Express with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. You are not going to want to miss all the hot takes from Sparky immediately following the Packers win over the Philadelphia Eagles. All right, but right now, we are joined by the great Mark Eckel. You can find him on PackerReport.com, also on the Pack-A-Day podcast. You can find him on social media at Mark Eckel. Mark, it is fantastic to be chatting with you. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm good, Andy. It's Mark Eckel 08.
That's right. My apologies. Mark Eckel 08 on Twitter. Oh, man, I'm failing you already, Mark. My apologies.
That's okay. No, there's another. The reason I'm 08 is there's another Mark Eckel who's a doctor. And I don't want to get confused.
Unacceptable. Unacceptable. You should know that you're the Mark Eckel. What does he do? Save lives?
He's pretty good, too. He's pretty good. I've actually met him. That's what's kind of funny. But.
Fair enough. All right, Mark. Well, I appreciate you being on. I'm glad you're doing well. We've got a lot to discuss. Of course, Mark was a former beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles as well, so he has a lot of insight into the Philadelphia Eagles. I know you keep an extra eye on them as well. I want to start, Mark, with the quarterbacks in this game, both a little bit banged up. Jalen Hurts is coming off the concussion. He's been out for a few weeks here for Philly. Also, Jordan Love, he's got the elbow issue. It sounds like the hand is better. No more numbness or tingling in the hand or fingers, which is great news, but that elbow is still bothering him. What are your expectations, not only from like a playing standpoint, but like what we can kind of expect from these two quarterbacks in this game, assuming both of them do play?
Well, I think they're both going to play. I'm almost certain that they're both going to play. I'd be very, very shocked if I see Malik Willis or Kenny Pickett out there, at least to start. I think, to be honest, even if they were both 100%, I think this game is going to be more Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs. I think both teams want to run. Both teams have become a run-first offense this year. Barkley didn't gain 2,000 yards. In only 16 games by not getting the ball a lot. So I think the Eagles are going to come out, try to run the ball a lot, and I think the Packers are going to do the same thing. So Well, I really like both Love and Hurts. I mean, I like them both in that 2020 draft is turning out to be pretty darn good quarterback draft, and yeah. I like both of those two guys. They were the fourth and fifth quarterbacks taken, but I like them. I liked both of them a lot prior to the draft, before I knew where they were going to go.
Now, if I'm going to ask you the really tough question here, Mark, which quarterback would you rather have in this game? Now, again, thinking both with the injuries, Jalen Hurts a little bit rusty coming off the concussion, Jordan Love with the elbow injury, game on the line. Do you want Jalen Hurts out there? Do you want Jordan Love out there? Where are you going? Which direction are you going with this one?
I've been asked this so many times in so many different ways, not just for this game, but like who would I want for future? You know, I'm as you said, I covered the Eagles for what 32 years. I was down there every day. I don't actually cover the Packers now like I did then, but I write for like I said, Pack Report. I do the Pack a Day, so I've always been a Packer fan. So I followed the Packers even when I was covering the Eagles. Now I actually get to write about the Packers, but so I'm asked a lot about Eagle Packer stuff. I hate to sound biased or homerish, but I would take Love. Slightly. I mean, I like Hurts more than most people, but I really like Love. I've always liked Love. I think I like Love more than almost anybody. So I'd love to have either one of them, but I'll take Jordan Love, especially this week because I think his hand's going to be fine. I mean, it sounded like from Matt LaFleur that if last week's game was a game, if the Packers needed to win that game to get in the playoffs, I think he may have gone back in. Did you get the same feeling from talking?
Yeah, it's a little bit tough because when Jordan then talked in the post game, he was like, I was still not feeling it, throughout the course of the game. But I also saw him throw on the sideline during the game, and he was still spinning it pretty well. Now, these were like little throws to, the other quarterback or, whatever. So it wasn't like anything major, but he was still spinning it really well, even without being able to feel it. I don't know if that's just like instinct or that too. But yeah, my guess is you're probably right that he would have probably worked his way back in there in some capacity.
Especially since Willis broke his thumb, right? I mean, he looked worse at the end of the game than loved it.
Yeah, that was, I think, a little bit under talked about. The fact, like, there's that play on the 2-point conversion where, like, he can't even grip the ball. You see him kind of waving out the finger. He kind of got through it, but yeah, you could tell that thumb was bothering him. I also wonder if there was, like, some of those decisions, like the fourth down end around and things like that, were kind of factored in based on the injury.
Absolutely, they were. Yeah. I think. I mean, even that final drive before the field goal, I mean, he threw one ball and it barely got, it was like a 5-yard pass that barely went 5 yards. Yeah, no, he was hurt, and Willis was definitely hurt. From what
I think,
I'm watching on TV, but still. Who would have been the emergency quarterback? Does anybody know?
No, that's a great question. We probably should have asked it in hindsight.
Randall Cobb isn't out anymore, so it can't be him.
My guess is they probably would have put like Jaden Reed or something back there, but I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Maybe Keyshawn Nixon. He can do a little bit of everything. I'm sure Keyshawn Nixon would have wanted to go back there. I don't know who they would have put. Would have been interesting. Yeah. Hopefully we never have to find out. All right. You did mention Saquon Barkley versus Josh Jacobs. I do think that this is going to be a very run heavy game as well. I think this is what's going to set the tone. How are both of these run defenses going to go about trying to stop these two very, very talented running backs? And I would argue that Philly still has the edge in the run game here, especially with a mobile quarterback in Jalen Hurts. But what are you expecting out of these two running games?
A lot. I mean, they're both excellent run offenses. The Packers run defense now, that's something that, as you know, as well as I, had been a liability for years, right? I mean, that was always a weakness of the defense and the team in general, that they couldn't stop the run. They've been pretty good, especially the second half of this. They haven't seen a back like Barkley or an offensive line probably as good as the Eagles, but they have seen some pretty good backs and they've held their own. I just worry that they're going to put two. I mean, they have. I shouldn't say worry. They're going to have to do something to contain Barkley. You're not going to shut him down. It's just too good. I was saying this to Jason Perrone when we did our pack a day. We taped it yesterday. That I'm old enough. I remember when the Packers held Barry Sanders to minus yards.
How was that game?
Yeah, you're okay. You're old enough then too. Okay, good.
Just barely.
But I said, I don't expect that. I don't expect Barkley to have minus three or whatever Sanders had. But But I do, you know, they're going to have to do something. That's going to be their number one priority, I think, is, you know, contain Barkley. Don't let the Eagles have second and three, third and one, you know. Make Hurts have to throw. He's going to be a little – now, Nick Sirianni, the Eagles head coach, was asked yesterday at his press conference, is he worried about Hurts being rusty? And, of course, he said no. He said, oh, no, he'll be fine. He's like, probably practice. But when you don't play for almost a month, he got hurt early in that game against Washington, came out, didn't play at all against the Cowboys, didn't play at all against the Giants, and didn't practice all the football because he wasn't allowed. He was in the protocol. He practiced for the first time yesterday. Now all the reports was, oh, he looked great. Well, practice is one thing. I expect Hurts. I expect them to be pretty cautious with Hurts. Like I said, I think their game plan is going to be run Barkley. The Packers have to do whatever he can. It's an extra man at the box, whatever it takes. But again, you're gambling a little bit because if Hurts is okay, the Eagles have as good a pair of wide receivers. I mean, Minnesota's are pretty good, but A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, I love both of those guys. I think they could both – they're both number one. I mean, people say who's one, who's two, whatever. I think they're both number one type wide receivers. So the Packers are going to have their hands full with those. And then now their tight end, Dallas Goedert, who had been out for a while, came back last week. So he's healthy again. So there's a lot of weapons that the Packer defense has to try to match up with. It's not going to be easy.
Yeah, this Eagles offense is annoyingly good and have answers for everything. They've got the mobile quarterback. Hurts can beat you with his arm. They've got the, you know, really tall and, you know, receiving tight end and Dallas Goedert, best blocking line in all of football. And then two alphas on the outside in Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. So, yeah, it's a pick your poison. And then, of course, you know, the best running back in all of sports, 2,000-yard rusher and Saquon Barkley, who can also beat you out of the backfield as a pass catcher as well. It's definitely a catch-22. It's definitely a pick-your-poison, and Jeff Hafley's going to have to be very careful with how he attacks that. Just really quick, nerding out here, do you know the travesty of that Barry Sanders negative one-yard game?
What's that?
They stat-corrected it in the following week. They changed a pass play that was a swing pass to Barry Sanders into a run play, and that pass play had gone for 10 yards. So he ended up with positive 9 yards later in the week.
Is that right?
That is right. Everyone was very upset in that because they did the stat correction. So technically he ended up with like a positive 9 yards in that game, but the box score at the end of the game reads negative 8, 1 yards for Barry Sanders. Yeah.
That was Reggie and Gilbert Brown and those guys, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If I remember correctly, I'm almost positive. I remember the sign in the stands was Barry Sanders, but it was B-U-R-Y Sanders. So everyone was holding signs that said Barry Sanders, and they went out and they did it. And at the time, it was negative 1 yards, but unfortunately corrected.
I never knew they corrected that. How about that?
Yeah.
That's a nice thing to know. I'm not happy about it, but corrections.
All right, we're being joined again by Mark Eckel, PackReport.com, Packaday Podcast. You can find him on Twitter at MarkEckel08. Don't tweet at the doctor. All right, I want to talk about this Eagles offensive line. I think it's the best in football. Green Bay's defensive line has been pretty darn good, as you mentioned, against the run. They've not been as great rushing the passer. They really struggled to get to Jalen Hurts that first game, although it definitely seemed like the goal was to contain him rather than get after him. How can this Packers defensive line be successful against this uber-talented Philadelphia Eagles offensive line?
Well, that's a good question because not many teams are. But see, the first game I thought they did what they wanted to do, which was contain him, keep him in the pocket. Hurts didn't really kill them that much running the ball. Not like he did a couple years ago when he ran for like, I don't know what it was, 150 yards or something. So they'll be smart. I think you could take a little more chance. Coming back off a concussion where you missed, you know, most of three games, I don't think the Eagles want Hurts running around a lot, right? I mean, I don't. I think they got to be a little careful. So I don't think he's going to be, I don't think he's going to take off as much as he normally would. Let's put it that way. So I think the Packers can afford to maybe rush a little harder than they did back in opening night in Brazil. But again, you still got to be careful. I thought, you know, the Packers pass rush, it's. And I hate saying this because I don't believe in getting close. But they get close. I mean, that last drive against the Bears, they had a sack that was taken away on what I thought was a bad call. I didn't think that was a horse collar. I thought he had his jersey. I didn't think he had him up high.
It was close.
And then Cooper just missed the sack, which I also thought. I mean, I watched it again. I guess he wasn't. Live action, naked eye. I thought Williams was down. I guess he wasn't, but he was an inch away from being down. And it probably could have been intentional grounding. Even though they said a guy was in the area, I don't know what area he was in. But they've Cooper adds a new wrinkle that the Packers didn't have when the first time the Eagles and Packers played. They had him, but they weren't using him, right? He had been out with the hip injury all through training camp and stuff. I could see Halfley, coming in, sending five at times, not going crazy blitz, but using Cooper as a pass rusher. You got to do something. I mean, you can't just sit back and play and think you're going to, get pressure answers. Like you said, probably the best pass blocking line in the league right there. So you have to come up with some different looks, some disguises. That's why Jeff Halfley is the coordinator. I mean, that's his job to come up with that kind of stuff. I would look at what Tampa Bay does. I would go back and watch, because Todd Bowles, whatever he does, works against the Eagles because he's owned them. He beat them this year in regular season. He beat them last year in the playoffs. I think Tampa's beaten the Eagles five of the last six times they've played. So I'd be watching Todd Bowles and what the Bucs do.
Yeah, I think that's number one, a really good thing to do. I think Jeff Halfley will be very well prepared for this game. I think he's going to learn some of the lessons from the first game. I think they're going to show some really unique looks, and I think they're going to get after Jalen Hurts a little bit more. And like you said, almost not dare him to win with his legs, but see just how willing he is to take some of those hits and see if they can get after him a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean,
Mark, let's talk about the biggest keys to this game. What are you looking for as we get down to the sort of nitty gritty and trying to figure out if Green Bay can win this one? As we're watching this live, what's the number one thing to kind of keep an eye on that will indicate to you whether or not maybe Green Bay has a chance to win this game?
Mistakes. Don't make it. I mean, if you look at the Packers this year, I mean, the games they've lost, the Lions games, the Vikings games last week. Not so much the opener, I never put a lot of stock in the opener, and especially that one since it was in South America on a field that really wasn't even. I'll just throw that game out now. But the other losses, the division losses, the Packers beat themselves, taking nothing away from the Lions and Vikings. They're obviously very good teams, two best records in the NFC. But mistakes. The Packers put themselves in a hole both times against the Vikings. They had to pick six against the Lions. You against the Eagles, you can't make those kind of mistakes, or you're going to. If the Eagles get you down, they're not the Vikings. They're not going to let you back in the game. If the Eagles go up 14-0, it's going to snowball. It's going to be awful. They'll just run Barkley at you the rest of the day. You can't fall behind. You can't give the Eagles a short field. They have to play, and not just turnovers, but the Packers can't have, 20-yard gains brought back because a man was downfield or because a player lined up wrong or something. Those unforced penalties, if you get called for a hold, you get called for a hold. I mean, maybe that was a smart play because your quarterback would have got sacked. I don't mind penalties like that, but you can't have the illegal for probation, the illegal man downfield, jumping off sides. They just have to shut those down. In a game like this against a team like the Eagles, every mistake is going to cost you. And then on the flip side, they have to force the Eagles into a couple of mistakes. They did last time. Again, going back to that last game, but if you remember, the Eagles turned. I think the Eagles turned the ball over twice in their first three possessions, two possessions.
I know something like that.
X had the interception. And then I think Hurts fumbled it. But the Packers only got 6 points out of it. It was 6-0 when it could easily have been 14-0. And that turned out to be a big difference in the game, obviously. But, so I would say the team that makes the least mistakes has the best chance of winning this game. That's probably every game, but especially this game. You don't want to make mistakes against this Eagles team.
Oh, I mean, it's been the Packers' MO the entire season. I still kind of believe that they're 11-0 in their games that they won and 6-0 against themselves in the game that they lost. Like they tend to make a lot of mistakes in their losses and kind of beat themselves up. If they can avoid that, I think we're going to know a lot in this first quarter, Mark, as to whether or not Green Bay is coming out strong, starting fast, and that they're playing kind of free and loose like they did against Dallas last year. Yep. Or if this is another scenario where, you know, they go down 14-3 or something and Philly's in control of the game. And like you said, can just lean on Saquon Barkley and just kind of pound him the rest of the game. I think we're going to know a lot after the first quarter of this one of what direction it's heading in. All right, again, we're being joined by Mark Eckel, PackReport.com, Packaday Podcast. You can find him on Twitter at MarkEckel08. Before we get you out of here, Mark, your prediction for this game, Packers-Eagles wild card weekend on Sunday.
It's funny, you know, I've been in demand this week, I guess, because of my connections to both teams. I was joking again with Jason that when I'm talking to people in Philly, I'm going to pick the Eagles, and when I'm talking to people in Wisconsin, I'm going to pick the Packers. No, I can't do that. I'm not a fraud. I hate to say it. I mean, I'll be rooting hard for the Packers, especially since they're playing the Eagles, and I have a lot of connections with people up there. But I think the Eagles are just being at home. They're healthy as can be. That's another thing. I guess the Packers got some good news yesterday with Quay Walker's back and Evan Williams is back, right? Looks like,
yep.
like they're going to play. But, you know, Christian Watson's out, Jair Alexander's out. Eagles, they're going to have – if Hurts is okay, and like I said, I'm 99% sure he's fine and going to start. They have their 22 preferred starters out there. So being healthy, being home, I got to lean toward it. I'm going to say 24-20.
I think that's fair. I think the Eagles have more avenues for victory in this one. I think Green Bay absolutely has every right to be able to go down there and have a chance to win if they play their best brand of football. But I think Philly probably has more opportunities, more avenues for victory, and we'll see if hopefully Green Bay gets those one or two, you know, ways that they can win to kind of go their way and pick up a huge win against the Eagles. Mark, what do you got cooking this week? What's coming out? Where can we find all of your awesome work?
Well, let's start with Packer Report. I just finished my story for that'll run Friday morning. Basically, I got a lot of stuff from Eagle coaches talking about the Packers, both the head coach Nick Sirianni, both of their coordinators Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio. Pretty good. I mean, they're saying all the right things, but there's some interesting stuff that all three coaches had to say about the different aspects of the Packers team. So that'll be up on Packer Report. I also write for a new site called Rant Sports, RANTSports.com, where I just cover the NFL in general. And up there now, I have stuff on. I broke down the AFC playoffs team by team with some little known. I try to do something different, like just like little known stats and history facts, playoff stats and playoff history about each team, how each one can win it, or why they will or why they won't. So the AFC is already up. The NFC should be up probably within an hour. So here's one for you. And this is the fourth time the Eagles and Packers have met in the playoffs.
Okay.
And all four games are in Philadelphia.
So we've got fourth and 26.
In Green Bay for some reason. I don't know why.
We've got fourth and 26. Got the Packers beating the Eagles with Michael Vick at quarterback on their path to the Super Bowl.
Intercepted the ball the last play of the game, right?
Yep. This one. And then what is the other one I'm missing?
Oh, the 1960 NFL championship game.
Oh, there you go.
The only playoff game Vince Lombardi ever lost.
Well, I don't like that. But they won the most recent one, so they're due to get even and even up the series 2-2.
I mean, he lost his first one, and he never lost another one. So it turned out to be, and then the Eagles never got back to the Super Bowl for like whatever many years, or never won one until just recently. So everybody said back in Philly when they were going year after year after year without winning anything, it was like, see, they should never beat Lombardi. That's what did it to him.
It's the curse of Lombardi. Mark, you're the absolute best. I know you're a wanted man this week and talking on every radio show. Pick a different score every time so you can play the redo of it afterwards and be right, you know, one way or the other. No. You can find him, of course, on Twitter at Mark. I'm sorry, say that again?
I'm not going to mention a name, but a very famous former player that did a lot of TV. I mentioned this to Jason off the air. like I said, I won't give his name. I don't want to embarrass him. But this is years ago. This is like back in the, I want to say, mid-90s or so. But the Eagles and Giants are playing a big game. It's like they're both like maybe tied for first in the East late in the season. And I'm driving down to practice in the morning. I'm listening to the Philadelphia radio station. And this guy comes on with the host. And they ask him about the game. And he breaks it down. And if I'm looking, well, give us a pick. It's like, you know, Donovan McNabb's playing really well right now. I'm going to ride the hot hand. I'm going to say the Eagles win the game, whatever. Okay. I'm driving back. Now it's like whatever time in the afternoon. I'm driving home from practice, and I put on the New York radio station because I used to like to listen to Mike and the Mad Dog. I actually knew the Mad Dog pretty well. But anyway, driving home, so I have that station on. Same guy comes on. They bring him on, and they talk about the game, snap, blah, blah, blah. All right, give us your pick. He says, I don't, you know, Giant defense is so good. I think you're going to contain Donovan McNabb, but they're going to have a big game. I think the Giants are going to win. I said, I'll be damned.
That's well, really
now
funny.
He was picking Eagles. Now he's picking the Giants. So I didn't want to be that guy.
Got his bases covered one way or the other. You know, back before maybe the internet days, maybe that worked a little bit better, I guess.
Exactly.
But yeah, harder to work right now. Mark, you're the absolute best. Again, go follow him on Twitter at MarkEckel08. Go find all of his great work. That article's up on PackReport.com. Him and Jason Perrone on the Pack a Day podcast today. So make sure to check that out as well. We'll make sure to do this again. Enjoy the game, Mark, and we'll talk very soon. When we come back, we're going to be going to the phone. So get those phone calls into the Nicolay Law Fan Talk and Text Line, 414-677-1250. It's the Pack a Day radio show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.